Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another 3TFM Holy Half Hour with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight I want to whisk you away in a flight of the imagination to the far side of planet Earth, to the far eastern island of Taiwan. I want to share with you some of the benefit of my experiences there. So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for takeoff. To get us in the mood, here is some Taiwanese music. When you visit Taiwan, one of the biggest problems is the language. It's all Chinese to me. It's incredibly difficult. It takes people about 2 years of full-time study to make any headway. I learned to say hello, ni hao ma. The tones are very important. Say it wrongly, and you could be saying, you look like a horse. Part of the difficulty is the fact that there are sounds which do not exist at all in English. Thank you is xie xie, with a sound somewhere between s and sh. The word order in a sentence is also different. Then you discover that on the one island they speak Mandarin, Taiwanese, Hakka, 9 tribal languages and now English. Everybody's keen to learn English, it seems. Writing the language is a nightmare. Instead of our 26 letters of the alphabet, the Chinese have 10,000 commonly used characters, plus 50,000 more characters in fairly regular use. I saw a Chinese typewriter sort of machine, and the typist had over 50,000 characters to choose from just to type in the very next letter of the word. I was staying with missionaries in Taipei, the capital city of Taiwan. It's a city of about 2 million people. I lived with Tom Nicholson, a Scot, and his Canadian wife Jane, both of whom were fellow students for the ministry with me at Aberdeen University. Imagine their difficulties in trying to read and write. It took Tom 4 years to preach his first sermon in Chinese. This is not a short-term investment of their lives. I, as a tourist, quickly learned what it feels like to be unable to read and write. It was quite a humbling experience. When we went into restaurants, I just followed Tom and pointed to whatever he ordered. I couldn't even tell which toilet was the gents and which the ladies. I couldn't follow TV, radio or newspapers and quickly lost touch with the news. I even had to carry a note in my pocket at all times, which Tom wrote for me. It said in Chinese, "This man is lost. Please put him on a number 47 bus to get him home." And once I had to use the note. The people were ever so helpful, but unfortunately just a wee bit careless because they put me on a number 74 bus instead of the number 47. So I was even more lost in a city of 2 million people. God had to miraculously guide me home that day. When you can't read and write, you feel like a 3-year-old in a big bad world. You feel so foolish, helpless, frustrated and angry. Well, you don't need to speak or write Chinese to appreciate lovely Chinese singing, like this track now.
什么？不管我曾说过什么，还是忘了吧。你就当作我已经醉了，无意说的话，别再要求重复对你说一遍。 什么苦，还是忘了吧。也许那时有一粒灰尘使我泪流下，短暂的一刻将要在眼前消失。为什么你不停地问是真是假？也许你永远不知道我要怎么做，其中隐藏着多少的无奈。也许你永远不知道爱又不能说，泪总滋味多难过。忘了吧，忘了吧，就这样淡淡说过什么，忘记我说过什么。
Tom and Jane had two little daughters who were, one of them was born out there in Taiwan. So while Tom and Jane are struggling with their textbooks to learn the Chinese, the girls under school age were picking it up naturally. It was quite embarrassing for them when the kids could out-talk them. I felt so inadequate and foolish in the face of the complex Chinese language. So spare a thought for Chinese people over here trying to learn English. And spare a thought for Scottish people who cannot read and write in their own native English language. Also spare a thought for those who get left behind when we start to throw around technical expressions and jargon in our limited fields of expertise. Like in football, we talk about a flat back four playing too many square balls. Or in supermarkets, you hear the bargain hunter's battle cry of bog off, buy one, get one free. In church life, we can also use a lot of jargon, big technical words like salvation, justification, incarnation, resurrection. For many, if not all of us, we find it hard to read life itself. Life is one big puzzle. The future's a complete mystery. We struggle to read the signs of the times. Jesus, quoting Isaiah the prophet, said, "You have eyes to see, but you do not see. You have ears to hear, but you do not hear." Jesus, on the other hand, could see right through people. He could read them like a book. It's a sobering thought to think that people will not read the Bible, but they will try to read us Christians. We might be the only Bible they ever read. In Daniel chapter 5, we read about King Belshazzar's feast. This godless tyrant is enjoying wine, woman, and song, when suddenly and miraculously, writing appears on his wall to the effect that his comeuppance has come up. This is the origin of the phrase, "the writing is on the wall." Oh, for the gift to be able to read the signs of the times before it is too late, to be able to read God's language and so discern his will for our lives. This next piece of music is about a Jewish leader who met Jesus, the boy in the temple. He reads the signs and for a brief moment he recognizes that Jesus is the long-awaited heavenly Messiah come down to earth. But just as quickly, he closes his mind to the thought, and then he regrets it.
I am an old rabbi, where's the child who was here only yesterday? How my heart start to beat as I sat at his feet for the things he'd say. The questions I asked him have weighed on my mind an eternity. Self-righteous show, I had made my disguise. It started to slip as I looked in his eyes. So rather than stay, for my pride's sake, I walked away. Come listen a while to the voice of the child, standing off of the wisdom of God. Hear what he has to say, for the time is today. You can come and just walk. Then late in the night, I awoke to a voice deep inside of me. It was gentle and mild, like the voice of a child my mind's eye could see.
promises made to my people through Abraham. And at once all the prophecy made sense to me. I'd studied them so long, why couldn't I see? In one holy moment I knew the Messiah was here. Just walk away. I am a rabbi, was the child who was here only yesterday. How my heart started to beat as I sat at his feet for the things he'd say. I've just got to find him and tell him.
This very next track on Michael Card's CD is about another person who reads the signs and recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, the light of the world, God. He doesn't close his mind to this thought, but accepts Jesus for who he is and then worships him.
You are the light of the world, O Lord. You make your servants shine. So how could there be any darkness in me if you are the light of the world? You are the light of the world. You are the bread of life, O Lord, broken to set us free. So how could there be any hunger in me if you are the bread of life? You are the bread of life. You've overcome the world, O Lord, and given us victory. So how could I fear when trouble is near if you've overcome the world? You've overcome the world.
The Bible is described as the Word of God in written form. It has a lot to say about speech and writing. James chapter 3 is a famous passage all about the tongue. It points out that the tongue is a very small part of the body, but it punches above its weight. It has a disproportionate power. It's like a rudder in a ship, just a small part, and yet it controls the whole direction of the ship. The Bible says the tongue is also like the bit in a horse's mouth, the little device which controls a huge horse. Or again, the tongue is like a little flame. It can set a whole forest aflame and cause a lot of destruction. James concludes by saying, "No one has ever been able to tame the tongue." The same tongue is used to thank God and to curse fellow human beings. Yet the same spring cannot issue forth both fresh and bad water, and the same tree cannot bear two varieties of fruit. Beware of this lethal tongue, the gossiping tongue, the two-edged sword tongue. Words are so powerful, they can create and they can destroy. Words are arguably the most powerful things in the world, for they can change minds and lives, and changed lives change the world. And negatively, careless talk costs lives, as they used to say in the war. So this week, let's watch our language. Don't just bite your lip and not say it, not swear, not gossip, not hurt, but positively watch our language. Speak words of encouragement, of healing, of wisdom, of love and comfort and hope and peace. Speak to God in prayer. Listen to him too. Read his word, written in the Bible, preached from the pulpits and radio. Here's a lovely prayer to finish. Tune in again, same time next week. God be in our head and in our understanding. God be in our eyes and in our looking. God be in our mouth and in our speaking. God be in our heart and in our thinking. God be at our end and at our departing. Amen.
相识。
还存些什么？是不是还有一点的不舍？相对的脸似乎在说，如果是你注定生命中有你，为什么安排那一场别离，又安排这场相遇？我们都拥有彼此的港湾，这是场错存些什么？是不是还有一点的不舍？相对的眼似乎在说，如果